Ready for the show? I'm ready to start.
10, 9, ignition sequence starts. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11. Tower clear.
Roger.
Welcome to ET First Contact Radio. My name is Maarten Horst, and as every week, I'm your host with special guests, and today I have a hot item. His name is Gary Evans, and Gary has been studying ancient cultures and earth mysteries for 20 years. From his studies of ancient cultures around the world, Gary has realized how deeply our ancestors appreciated nature, something many of us have become disconnected from in the modern age. His keen interest in an unfamiliar chapter of prehistory before Sumeria, 3500 before Christ, has led to the website called www.atlantisevidence.com and various lectures around the UK, US and Egypt. He is a regular contributor to the international radio shows, like this one. Gary also helps organize to lead tours to some of the most powerful ancient sites around the world. He has become increasingly interested in sound resonance and its potential to change our state of consciousness. He often leads stoning workshops on location. On tours, Gary leads groups with an experimental approach in efforts to help guests tune in and experience the sights in a far deeper way. Additionally, Gary actively helps to promote greater awareness of ancient mysteries to the public as the PR agent for a number of best-selling alternative authors. Gary's work as agent in the alternative arena has given him the opportunity to speak to authors, radio show hosts, and TV producers around the world. Gary has recently been working with producers for the History Channel and as a consultant for the large number of magazine editors, TV and radio show hosts. He also uses his PR skills in the promotion of conferences such as CPAC, Awake and Aware in the USA, and Mega Lithomania, and following the end of the Stars and Stones Forum, the Eternal Knowledge Festival in the UK. When not working on conferences, he is organizing running tours to Egypt, Peru, Bolivia, Stonehenge, and many other sacred sites. So, Gary, I want to welcome you to the show. It's great to have you.
Thank you. And sorry I made my biography so long for you.
That's okay. You know, it's not only long, it's also interesting, because you're doing quite a lot of interesting stuff out there. So it's really a privilege to have you on the show now that we have so many common interests. And, you know, sound healing and frequencies is also my core business. And the music I play, I don't know if you heard the intro. It's, of course, on mono on Skype.
I did hear it, yes. And I enjoyed it. It had a nice feel of kind of uplifting, positive feel to it. And also I had a feeling of space and expansion.
Exactly. That's the purpose. But you know, I hope that soon Skype will go into stereo, because mono channel, you know, with music, you don't get the effect, because stereo for me is very important discovery that humankind did in the 60s and 50s, because with stereo you can affect the brainwaves left and right hemisphere, and with stereo effects done by a synthesizer you can encode subliminal effects with the differences between the left and right channel.
Yep, I've definitely noticed that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're certainly dealing, when we're talking about sound at ancient sites, there's what you can audibly hear, but I'm also aware of frequencies below what we can audibly hear.
Mm-hmm.
King's Chamber's definitely a good example of that, and of course you're in a field of sound, a resonance flowing through the whole body, which is why I think these sites are capable of having such a profound effect.
Yes, I believe that sites like Machu Picchu and Stonehenge and other sacred sites around the world, there are frequencies going on there that are below or above the spectrum of sound that we can hear, but probably they give us information into our subconscious mind.
Mm-hmm.
Also like crop circles that levitate us into special states of consciousness.
Definitely, and that is one of the main areas that I'm exploring for myself and on the tours with various guests. So I'm getting quite a few different perspectives and starting to see the patterns of how we all relate to these sites, and quite often we have group experiences, and when the people I'm with write down those experiences, it correlates exactly to what I felt at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely a shared experience, and I've had a number of those, and so I'm starting to build up quite a picture. And of course, many of them can be life changing. I would say these experiences have changed my life, and I've just returned from running a tour in Egypt with various different hosts. We had a big tour last month with 42 guests.
Mm-hmm.
And we shared some incredible experiences on that tour.
Can you maybe enlighten your agenda a bit for the tours that you will be doing this summer, so that people can sign up if they want?
Yes, certainly. Well, the next big one I've got coming up is in July this year, with a good friend of mine, Maria Wheatley, who runs tours in the Wiltshire area of England and to various other locations. So we will have private access to Stonehenge, go down to Glastonbury and a number of the stone circles, Avebury, which is Crop Circle, the Crop Circle predominant area. So if any occur at that time of the year, as I often do, we will go out and see a few. I do normally focus on the sites. That's kind of where I'm more pulled to, but I understand that the circles definitely fascinate a lot of people, so we wanted to give time for people to experience them. And then we're going to go over to Bath, have a look at the Roman baths there, and then fly over to Ireland. And then we're going to spend sort of 8 days exploring various sites around Ireland, Newgrange and Noth and the Hill of Tara.
Oh, beautiful.
And then work our way north all the way up to the Giant's Causeway area on the north coast. And I've tied up with an Irish author that has keys or knows the location of keys to a few sort of lesser known sites. And he's also interested in archaeoacoustics, the study of acoustics at ancient sites. And so it does seem that this area is something that we're all tuning into at the moment. The world's kind of ready, I think. And so anyone that's starting to look at sound and ancient sites, and even through the academics, we're starting to see various reports about Stonehenge and other locations. And really, where I come into it is kind of through, you could say, through the spiritual path. How does our experience, helped by learning through my meditation and yoga, to quieten the rational mind, which quite often needs a lot of convincing about these kind of experiences. But I've seen enough to know that there is another state of being beyond the rational mind, where I feel a deep sense of inner peace. I really feel that I've not only found myself by visiting these sites, and particularly Egypt, but I've also reached a state of mind where I can just be very calm and at peace, and that means a lot to me. To be able to share that feeling with others is a true blessing. I really do. My heart's in this, and it's a real pleasure to be able to share these experiences.
Well, it's a blessing that you have achieved that state of consciousness, and especially that you share it with people, because that's important, that you can teach others to be in a state at the sacred site and to share your knowledge, your spiritual knowledge, which is very important, because you spoke about rationality and spirituality. But I think that the two go together. If you acknowledge that there is a metaphysical nature of reality or physicality.
Yeah, well, that certainly helps you understand. I mean, I'm having these amazing experiences, and then I want to be able to convey the essence of them on radio interviews like this, because not everybody's fortunate to be able to visit these amazing places. So I want to be able to break it down into something that's of practical use to somebody listening today. I mean, what difference does it make for them tomorrow, what I'm sharing today? I would like to be able to give something of value. So hopefully, by having the various perspectives, because it's important not to kind of go off on a tangent and completely lose touch with reality. We're all here, and we have our purpose, and our paths might intersect, but we have our own unique path.
Exactly.
So I just try to find the relevant messages, you could say the techniques. So perhaps we can share techniques of how to tune in to not only ancient sites, but the natural world. Because just time in a forest or by the sea, if we're still, we can still be capable of reaching a state of consciousness where we can sort of access our intuition or receive epiphanies about the future and relationships and things.
Yeah. Well, Gary, can you shed some light on your idea about sound frequencies that are occurring at sacred sites? Can you dig and elaborate a bit deeper on it?
Yes, yeah, I'll be happy to. In fact, it's one of my favorite subjects. I mean, there's lots of different ways of introducing the subject, but I think the kind of brief overview would be I visited sites in Egypt, South America, Central America, and England, and I've had amazing experiences related to sound in all of those locations. And it's like my friends in Egypt who live near the base of the Sphinx, Patricia and Yusuf Awan, gave me the eyes and ears to understand how sound frequency interacts with ancient sites. So once I was given that ability to feel the sound resonance and understand its ability to affect us, then I was able to see the clues on all of these different locations. So that's where it started. In my friend's perspective in Egypt, they were dealing with frequency and resonance in the pyramids particularly.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly think of the pyramid more as a machine or a device that has a field emanating from it, because we're talking about these huge structures. I mean, they're capable of having an effect that can certainly stretch for a huge radius around them, if not up to a even a kind of global scale, because we're talking about a lot of pyramids that could be connected in some way. Seems to be where the evidence leads, that they're connected under the ground through passageways, possibly flowing water between them, tying into earth energy currents.
Mm-hmm.
And I also don't think it's any coincidence about the location that they've built. I don't think it's just a random place
that gives
a plateau. Whoever built those pyramids there certainly knew a lot about the geography of a huge part of our planet, even, but certainly the Middle East and that Fertile Crescent and Europe, they'd certainly covered that side of the planet, I would say. So they've picked that spot because it had the unique properties which you can feel there in persons, this incredible vibrant, uplifting feeling in the air, which I would relate to energy. And so the frequencies that they seem to be using, or that we can use for sound healing, I would say the kind of lower bass frequencies are capable of shifting ingrained emotional trauma, that kind of thing.
Yes.
And things that have built up over a long period of time and played on our minds. And a lot of the things I've had to deal with are definitely past relationships and those kind of things. Making peace with the past and letting go of things seems to be a big part of our expansion process at this point in time. Just doesn't serve us to hold on to things or have bad feelings towards other people. It does definitely hold us back, and there's lots of reasons to try and make peace with past relationships when possible. So we use these lower frequencies to kind of shift these blockages, you could call them, or things that are preventing our expansion. And then once we've gone through that kind of process, we're able to use the higher frequencies. And the way that I see that happening is it can elevate our consciousness up the spinal column and potentially either to the crown chakra or the third eye, or possibly a combination of the two.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we've got our energy connected to these spots on our body, we're capable of tapping into even, probably best to call it, the collective consciousness.
Yes, indeed.
The part of us that is greater than the aspects that we're generally aware of on a day-to-day basis. And I've certainly spent a fair amount of time in that awareness and made peace with the fact that there's a greater aspect of myself that I'm not always able to have contact with as much as I'd like, where my intuition resides. But it's there whether I want to believe in it or not, you could put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's these techniques that we can use. And the good thing about sound healing is when we're talking about toning and chanting, so the kind of oms and ah sounds. So, but there is a technique to using toning with the body, because I do see a lot of people just generating the sound in their kind of throat area, which is how I used to produce sound before I became more aware, you could say. And for the best effect, we really want to be generating the sound in our solar plexus. And there is a way of getting the whole body to vibrate while using this sound. And that's how I kind of interact with these ancient sites. And another big part of what we do is the group sound work. And if I had to guess, it's if we can reach a harmony as a group, it does help us to form a sort of greater connection, as bigger than I could generate by myself. But the important word there is the harmony. So it's not conflicting tones of sound. We will reach harmony together, so there will just be one sound between the group of people. And once you get to that point, you can't even detect your own voice. And I've had lots of strange experiences using that method, even to the point where the sound coming out of my mouth is a female voice, and it sounded like the lady that was sitting opposite me. And I was thinking, well, that's not my voice toning. And so these are, I've kind of got used to these what we call strange experiences, and just had some deep insights into the effects of sound. And what I really like about it is that with the sort of proliferation of use of crystal bowls as a form of sound healing, and gong baths where you have the big gongs and you can just sit in the vibration of the sound, that these techniques are becoming more and more accessible to people. And so it's something that probably most people listening today could find in a fairly local area and go and see what they think.
Yes, and Gary, can you maybe dig into the connection or the relationship between ancient sites and ancient aliens, or extraterrestrials that have been engaged with the human race for decades of time?
I mean, I work with a lot of the ancient aliens cast. I think I've discussed these subjects with the majority of the ancient aliens cast. And of course, there's varying different perspectives on it. And from one level of consciousness, you could argue that we're all aliens on this planet if we've got a universal source as the root of our soul, which is the only way that I could describe my experiences in Egypt. And that includes that we had a group out of body experience, and it felt like an out of body back to the source rather than out of body flowing in the room. So that would be my one big point on that, is that you could say that we're all ETs visiting this beautiful planet. I haven't got any problem with the kind of alien ship turning up, apart from the fact that I haven't seen one. I did go to East Seti Ranch. James Gilliland's ranch.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place. I know James Gilliland.
Yeah, I had a great time there. He gave me his night vision goggles, and I did see some strange things that I'd never seen anywhere else in terms of lights in the sky at high altitude. But he surrounded himself with a great group of people, really heart-based, fantastic people. So I'd certainly recommend anyone that's in the US or can get to Washington State paying them a visit. And the main thing is to say, with the billions and billions of stars out there, and I think somebody was talking about it the other day.
Yes.
That there's potentially billions of planets with life on it.
Mm-hmm.
The odds are that somewhere there is intelligent life.
Oh yes.
I mean, it's definitely life. I mean, I see the universe as alive. Whether it's on the physical dimension, which is the only one that we're particularly aware of,
mm-hmm,
at the moment, I did hear a nice kind of idea that the other planets in our solar system also have life, but on other planes past the physical level, and that so we're surrounded by life, we're just not aware of it. And I have one client, Gregory Sams, that talks about the consciousness of the sun.
Yes.
So that's my kind of take on it. But I wouldn't want to put all of our potential, all of our progress into the hands of a kind of extraterrestrial that's turned up in a ship necessarily. I haven't gone too much down that line of thought, because I think the missing link from this whole topic is our consciousness. And
yeah, consciousness is everything, Gary.
Yeah, and that is something that's often not brought into the equation when we're talking about ancient cultures. And from an academic point of view and the rational mind, it's difficult for them to integrate the kind of spiritual path and what the aspects that you reach when you meditate and do these kind of spiritual practices. Those two worlds are not combining at this point in time too well. I think we're making steps in that direction, but in terms of being able to detect the subtle forces in nature and the kind of finer sound frequencies and these kind of things, our knowledge hasn't caught up to where some of our ancestors were at some point, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I think they just had an instinctive awareness of these things. It was part of their world, and we've lost touch with that.
Yes, and I think that because of the modern society we live in, and we lost touch with the more spiritual aspects of life, it's very important now to connect with people all around the world and do radio shows, do visits to sacred sites, and to meditate in groups together to get the consciousness higher and to kind of get people back to their roots.
Well, this is really at the core of what I'm trying to work on most of the time with doing the radio shows, promoting authors' work, organizing conferences and organizing tours. Because the pattern I've started to see, and this was discussed a lot on our tour last month in Egypt, and as we've got open-minded people all over the planet. So we had people, I think, from almost all continents in Egypt, and within a few minutes it's like I've known these people forever. We can just endlessly talk about all these subjects that we share and love.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter on our cultural upbringing or what the society around us believes. When you have an open mind and you're kind of getting into the heart-based consciousness, it's like a kind of family feeling. So when I started off by listening to shows like this and exploring these things by myself, but I felt very lonely at that point because I just had a circle of friends that were busy in their day jobs and weren't researching like I was. So it gets to the point where we need to spend time in each other's company. It's healthy for us with our open minds, and of course collaborations can spring up from these kind of things, people getting together and just sharing time in like-minded company is incredibly empowering. So anything that pulls us of a like mind together, I'm a big fan of, because it's definitely done a lot for me, and I know it's doing a lot for others because I've just been hearing about their feelings in Egypt. So the internet, the point in time with the internet that we're at, and being able to do a show like this that wouldn't have been so easy even 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a good time to be here from that perspective, because it's helping us find each other. It's helping us find the information that helps our spiritual growth or our path move forwards, and helping us to grow and hopefully work out why we decided to come here.
Yeah, the reason, in my point of view, that we came here is that the people that are like you and me are starseeds incarnated in this time of transition, of ascension, to uplift the vibration of the planet so that we can all ascend into the higher dimensions.
It's certainly possible. I think we are all definitely working on the uplifting the vibration and the consciousness just by bringing this information to wider audiences, and the world is definitely, I think, getting ready for a lot of these topics.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't say I have my mind up about where we go, but I would hope that the more of us that become awakened to these things and start to move into our hearts, and it's about having self-respect and empowerment to start with, and when you kind of get that process starting, then you have more respect for others, and so it's easier for a harmony to happen. And because we obviously need to get to a point of being able to interact in a sustainable way with our planet, because we're not on a good path at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And where we go after that process, well, I'm open to it, and I will embrace a positive future.
Oh yes, me too. And I think that right now we are on a threshold, kind of very important transition in the history of the Earth, because now we must all get together to make the future of humankind better with free energy mm-hmm. and alternative healing methods and all that kind of things.
Definitely. And the way it feels to me is that time is kind of condensing, so a lot more is happening at a far faster pace, and the internet is a big part of that, because if you went back to the sort of 1920s or something, if you were collaborating with somebody in Australia, you'd have to send them a letter or if you're lucky, get a kind of telegram or something.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this long gap in them receiving it and then getting a message back to you. And if we go back further in time, it was obviously even longer.
Yes, indeed.
But now I can write a thought on Facebook and somebody in Australia can reply within a few seconds.
It's amazing.
So our potential to collaborate with people and for consciousness to grow and expand is exponentially greater than it ever has been in our recorded history. So, yeah, I'm excited to be here. We can definitely use these modern tools at this point for the greater good, but it's important not to lose ourselves in these tools to become further disconnected from the natural world. I think that's the danger.
Yes, I have to agree with you here. Gary, I just want to have a little break here and play some uplifting music if you want.
Of course.
Yes, it's called On My Way Home from Edwin Goodall. Maybe you know him, he's from England.
That's a nice name.
Yes, and it's called the album Moon Goddess Part 2 from 2012. And it's called On My Way Home. It's beautiful. welcome back to the show. Gary, you are live with me, and I want to ask you a question about the multidimensional aspect of our existence, because I think you know a great deal about it and your experiences with being multidimensional.
Okay, well, that's a good question. And it ties into one of my most meaningful experiences that I feel answers a lot of questions that I didn't even know I had, because I'm booking guests into these tours to sacred sites around the world, and people do literally feel pulled from anywhere on the planet. They feel pulled towards the Great Pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
And that is quite strange. So I've kind of termed that energetic callings, because there is something going on beyond what we're consciously aware of that is saying, okay, well, you need to go to Egypt. People subconsciously know I need to go to Egypt because there's something there that helps me learn about life, I would say. That's mm-hmm. certainly how I feel I've learned in Egypt. And the same happens in Peru, Stonehenge. These places are definitely communicating with us in a very subtle way. And I think a lot of the time we don't really know why we're going to these places, just that we in our heart we feel it will there's some good to come out of it. And this is kind of how I started to follow the trail, and that's what got me to Egypt. And I really got into Luxor Temple, which is somewhere that John Anthony West talks about a lot, the Temple of Man. Mm-hmm. Shwala de Lubitz called it the Temple of Man, which I found a fitting name for Luxor Temple, because it's the one place that I've learned the most about myself. So a temple of man or woman, you could call it, somewhere that we can go to learn about our multidimensional aspect, basically, to put it into that terminology. And so one of the things that my research had seemed to be showing me was that as we walk through the temples in Egypt, they've put in either steps or slopes into their buildings. Normally on the main axis of the temple, you walk through as a straight line. And at Luxor Temple, there's like a huge ramp that you walk up, and then there's this amazing courtyard. And we were walking through at night, and I was with my friend Petra, and I also like to walk through barefoot when I'm at these sacred sites where it's practically possible, because if we're wearing training shoes or something with a rubber sole, we're completely disconnected and in fact insulated from any earth energies present. So walking through barefoot, we're definitely more connected to the ground and that aspect of ourselves. So we were walking through barefooted, and we walked up this huge ramp. And I said to Petra, well, if my theory is correct and where they've put these ramps in corresponds to where there's a dramatic change in the energy in the temple, let's stop and see what we feel here. So we both stood there, and it was almost instant effect, because just stopping to see what you feel is something that many of us don't give ourselves a chance to do. But if you have that intention, it might be quite surprising for people what they can feel. And so I opened up, and this energy kind of rushed into my body, and it was making the skin twitch between my thumb and forefinger. And I was looking at my hand, and it was twitching with this energy, and I was thinking to myself, wow, is there really so much energy flowing into my body? It's making my hand twitch. And then my friend Petra said, wow, there's so much energy flooding into my body, it's making my hand twitch. And it's like, so we're in this kind of zone where we're both experiencing exactly the same thing. I'm thinking it, and she expresses it in exactly the same words. And these are the kind of strange things that can happen at ancient sites. So I'm kind of used to it now, and it normally means that things are about to get very interesting. So I said to her, well, this is good. Let's go and sit along the wall of this courtyard that we're in and see what continues to happen. So we both went and sat down, and there was about half a dozen, six people walking from the left side of the courtyard to the right in front of me, and I was just looking at them in a kind of meditative state. I wasn't thinking about anything. I just had a kind of clear mind. And as I looked at them, they changed from the physical to this kind of white outline of energy, and I could no longer see their legs moving, but they were kind of gliding across the floor. And this was a first for me, so I was quite surprised. I was like, ah, well, there's another weird thing that I've seen at an ancient site that I hadn't seen before. I put that on my strange list. I've experienced enough now to kind of embrace it. I certainly don't get freaked out or anything. This is the reason I'm going to these places as a researcher, to see if strange things do happen and if their sort of reputation, you could say, is the reputation at these places founded on something substantial, or is it a kind of made up reputation? And so far, everywhere that I've visited has never disappointed me. Places with reputations as being power centers, places like Sedona in America, have got reputations because they are a bit different. There is something there that we can pick up on. So this experience continued to unfold, but we were heading towards, you could say, called the inner sanctum of the temple, the most powerful place. We hadn't reached there yet. And after a while, I said to my friend Petra, let's continue to head towards the inner sanctum and see what happens. And there was other members of our group at the temple. I was helping with a tour. And it just so happened that we ended up with six of us in the inner sanctum. And I think most of the people present were kind of into meditation or starting that kind of side of things. And we'd also been doing the sound work. And so we began to tone very quietly, and then gradually raising the volume and the harmony to a higher pitch, and then a higher pitch. And it's kind of like waves on the shore. The sound was kind of coming in and then going out, and we kind of got into this nice pattern. And then we kind of were getting up to this higher and higher volume and pitch of the harmony, and all of a sudden I felt this kind of sharp feeling in the top of my head, and I would say it probably the crown chakra area. It was like a sharp like a pain there. And it kind of shocked me because I had my eyes closed, and so I started opening my eyes, and I was looking directly at the guy that was sitting opposite me. And as soon as I had my eyes open enough, I could also see that his eyes were also opening in perfect synchronization with mine. We were opening our eyes together, and it was almost like time was kind of slowing down. So it was like watching a video, but on slow speed. And we shared a thought at this point, and it was, oh my God, what's happening? And then the next thing I kind of became aware of was this white tunnel of light above me, and it was like I was sucked upwards through this tunnel of light, and I think we all left, all six of us appeared to have had the same experience. And then so the next thing that I knew was this was the first kind of conscious awareness of being completely out of my body. I was my consciousness was separated from my body, and my friend Petra wrote me a nice description of her experience, which I think is the best way to convey the essence of what I felt, because when she sent me this description, it mirrored perfectly what I'd been feeling and what I wanted to share with other people. So I think her words are the best ones to use for what I felt at that point in time. So I'll just read you out a short quote, if I may. And so she says, having walked barefoot with my friend Gary on these sacred grounds, Luxor Temple, not knowing about Schwalla de Lubitz's idea of sacred architecture and the perfect man at that time, I gathered there with our small group of a handful of wonderful and spiritually open people with the intention of doing a short meditation. We sat down in a circle without much hesitating, and it seemed everybody knew where his exact place was. And within less than microseconds, I felt literally catapulted out of my body, flowing into the wide light and heavenly realms of another dimension. Feeling like paradise and being connected with everything, what is, was, and ever will be. Just bliss. Consciousness returning back to where it is infinitely free and where its true home is. Infinity, peacefulness, love. A state of being you never want to leave again. But it was not the first time that I have experienced this mind-blowing state of existence. It had already happened in a similar way before. For example, when laying in the resonance box in the King's Chamber of the Great Pyramid for the first time in my life. Maybe you could also call it a cosmic orgasm in a non-physical way. When all becomes one in the highest sense we can be aware of. And then she said, to my opinion, the purpose and ability of ancient sacred sites and incarnated sacred men and women all over the world is to support the human soul to gain higher reconnection and insights when being approached in a humble and unexpectant, loving and grateful attitude, in order to make them learn and understand that love is all that is. Having been blessed with this experience, life will never be the same as before. Petra. And I think the things I would add to that would be when I was there, the sense of the unconditional love, which I think is really what this kind of state of just absolute peace and unconditional love and serenity, which I think many of us on the physical plane miss because we're all aware of this place. And so there's an aspect of us that knows that certain places on this planet, ancient sites in nature, I mean, there's not one answer for everybody, but there are ways that we can access this place and reconnect to our greater aspect of ourselves and become aware that we are all connected, because it was like a state of an ocean. So there was a drop of awareness in the ocean that was Gary. That awareness was self-aware, but at the same time I was aware of the consciousness of the whole. So on that level of reality, we are all connected. And so that's kind of where we start to hear things like we are all one, because you could say we're all one on that level of reality. And if I hurt somebody on some level, I'm also hurting myself. And so if we are going to move the state of awareness on this planet forwards, this is definitely something that can help us feel it directly. It's not just an intellectual thinking that we're all one. We are able to access this state even in the physical form. And it's kind of taken away the worry. I mean, this, you could say this is, we are going through the hard stage here to try and even move the planet's vibration forwards, as you said, work on ourselves, grow our consciousness and awareness. But I don't want to rush back to this place, because I kind of see it like Groundhog Day. If I don't accomplish what I've set out to do in this incarnation, I would need to come back here again to carry out the mission. So that was one of my most meaningful experiences, and it definitely left a lasting impression on me.
Well, I must tell you, Gary, I'm very moved with your experience. and I was listening very closely to what you were saying. Your experience with Petra and the other four people having it at the same time, that's beautiful, and I wish everybody to have such an experience, to feel to feel this oneness. Jerry, we have reached the last 5 minutes of the show, and Gary, I have something I want to share with you and the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I heard your name first, when Dr. Mara introduced me to you, you can find the interview on YouTube with Dr. Mara. I know that I had music from Gomer Edwin Evans. It's the same surname, Evans.
Uh-huh.
And it's called Meeting of the Waters, and it's beautiful.
Well, that sounds good.
Yeah, so before I play that, at the end of the show, can you give us your contact details and your website if you want?
Yes, certainly. Well, I've got my infinite-connections.co.uk website, and that's got some information on what I do, the tours I run, the conferences I help with. The easiest way, I think, to find me on Google is if you type Egypt Gary Evans. That normally finds my website fairly quickly. I've got a Facebook group, Infinite Connections PR, so people are welcome to connect with me on Facebook. I do a lot on there, and I'm on Twitter as Connections_PR, and you can also find me via my Atlantis Evidence website, which has got a lot about the fascinating sights around the planet, which seems to suggest that the age of humankind is much older than we've been led to believe.
Yes.
Yeah, happy to help people. I do give out quite a lot of advice about visiting places that people feel called to. It's not just about joining my tours. I love what I do, and I want to help people experience some of these kind of things that I've had the fortune to. That's really what I'm trying to do.
Well, you're doing a great job, I'm sure. And I'm hoping that we can meet this summer in Wiltshire when I will visit the crop circles and the sacred Asian sites.
Definitely, yeah. See if we can connect in the summer.
Yes. Thank you very much for being on the show, Gary.
Yeah, thank you for your time and everybody listening. Appreciate it.
Yes, thank you. Thank you to the listeners. And be sure to be on BBS Radio this Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Which will be 9 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time or 10 o'clock in the evening in Europe, to listen to my show with Costa Macreas, and he is one of the co-founders of the CE5 initiative and the ET Let's Talk group. So be there on BBS on Thursday. Thank you. All the best to you, Gary.
Thank you, and you too.
Yeah, and here comes the song from Gomer Edwin Evans. Maybe it's family of you, far family, but it's beautiful.
Good bay.
Okay, Meeting of the Waters. Love and light, my friend.